Everyone, welcome to the World Service Conference 2021 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Monty, and I am a compulsive debtor from Raleigh, North Carolina, and my solvency date is June the 30th of 2020. Okay, our workshop topic is Traditions 10, 11, and 12, Keeping Viable and Vibrant. And it's time now for our speakers to share, and our first speaker is Betty S.
Hello, everybody. My name is Betty. I'm a compulsive spender and under earner, and gratefully in recovery for a long time. I don't even want to talk about how long, but I will. Let me start out here by just telling you my story, a little bit of it anyway. I came into Debtors Anonymous, and I wasn't kidding. I've been in it for a long time, 1992. I added up the years a while ago, and I decided not to speak them because it will tell you how old I am. I came into Debtors Anonymous. I had raised my children as a single mother. I had put myself through a master's degree program and had a 20-year career in local government management service that was very difficult, very hard. And don't ask me how I did it, because I don't know, as any mother would share. Ask any mother how they did it, and we can't tell you how we did it, but we did. It was only when my last daughter went off to college that my life came crashing down. And all of a sudden, nothing that I had done before served me well. I had managed millions of dollars well. I had been very successful in those areas, but all of a sudden I couldn't do anything. I shut down. Some people would call it a nervous breakdown, but I call it a spiritual breakdown, because my spirit simply said, no more. We're gonna change life. And I am so glad I did, because even though I shut down for 2 or 3 years and lost my home and spent all of my retirement portfolio and did all those things, I began to have books falling off the shelves and began searching for what life really meant. I was in my, to give you a hint, I was in my mid-50s and or mid-40s when that happened, actually. And I simply did not know why I was here on this earth. So that's what brought me down, was at the end of 3 years and after my money was gone and I was several thousand dollars in debt, on credit card debt, and I was working too. I decided I had to go back to work, and all of a sudden all those credentials I had weren't any good anymore, because I hadn't worked for 3 years and couldn't answer that question, why haven't you worked? So when I finally got into Debtors Anonymous, I was working $2, $6 an hour jobs, and I was sick, and it was Christmas time. And this friend of mine said to me, who had been in some other 12-step program, and I was in 12-step programs by that time, but not this one, and she said to me, I hope I'm never where you are. So, and I looked at her and I thought, well, shoot, am I that bad? So I went to it. Somebody suggested I go to a Debtors Anonymous meeting, and they all laugh at me now. Some of them are still around, and began to go to work on finding out, why am I here, and why have I done this self to me, to myself. I slowly began to, I never was, all the desires for career success were gone for me for life. They never did come back. Since then, and my type of person is mentioned in some of the Debtors Anonymous books, I decided to be a moderate earner and not go for the big jobs. So the last, gosh, how many years in my 50s and 60s, and now I'm in my late 70s, I continued to work moderately. And you know, thanks to DA that I went in all those years ago, I now have a wonderful retirement. Don't ask me how I did it on so little money, because remember, I had nothing when I came into DA and began to work the program. I am a DA walking miracle, in that My higher power has taken care of me. He even took care of me in I got laid off. I was 77 when I got laid off from a major corporation last year due to COVID, and was able to save all the money that the government so graciously bestowed me. So that now I may be able to retire, or I may have to pick up a little job to pay for travel money. But it's the darndest thing. Along with all of that and what I went through during, I was a pretty arrogant person, honestly. I was one of those people that kind of you got tired of real quick before I was brought down to my knees in this program. And I'm not saying I'm so great now. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that I don't need all of that. However, I am the perfect person to do Tradition 10. Because there's a part of me, I'm a Texan and I'm from North Carolina. I just think my opinion is the most important thing ever, and I love to be right. So I have to, that is called a character defect, I believe, in 12-step. It is the character defect of pride. And that is the thinking that my opinion is the right one. So let me turn now to Tradition 10, and I'm going to read Tradition 10 in the first paragraph in the 12 and 12. Tradition 10, Debtors Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the DA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Debtors Anonymous exists to help donors, to help debtors rather, attain and maintain recovery from debting. By preserving our unity and remaining committed to our primary purpose, we're able to offer our tried and true approach to debtors driven to desperation, an approach that leads to the sanity and serenity that are possible when we stop incurring new unsecured debt. The gift of 12-step recovery is precious, and that's the next line. It's precious to me. The fact that I'm even alive is to my recovery. I've learned that we live in a world that thrives on controversy. And when we come into DA and first hear DA's 10th tradition, it comes like a surprise to some of us, at least it did to me, that this fellowship that's so supportive of our recovery from compulsive spending are not moved to throw its moral weight behind other really good causes. So how can we, as a group sit by and say nothing about the many social evils that seem to go unchecked in the world? Well, the reason is simple in DA. Our members come from all over the world and all backgrounds and have many shades of opinions. And so what I found, the way I wanted to handle this was really to bring some questions in into this about the 10th tradition. So let me go through those. These are the questions I came up with. Are we sacrificing personal freedom of thought and give up every outside concern and activity? Of course not. I'm answering some of them. However, it is important to leave them outside our meetings. That's the determination that DA has made and every other 12-step program. We just must leave them outside our meetings. And then the next question, what if we do share our opinions on outside issues? We will experience far-reaching consequences. I've been to meetings in several, I'm multiply addicted in several different fellowships. I've seen meetings end because a couple of people would come into a meeting and say, the way I think is the way everybody ought to believe in here. And people leave. They've had meetings to try to save them, and they're not savable. I've been in meetings where people come in and they chair the meetings and they say, I'm bringing in outside literature to this meeting because I think it's so great. I think it's really going to help us all. That meeting died too, by the way. It took a couple of months to kill it, but people just stopped coming, didn't they? They just stopped coming. And these are true stories for me. Because I've been here for a long time. After a while, these stories add up. So what is an outside issue? Well, many of us are members of other 12-step programs, and I've shared that I'm one of those. Many of us are members of other programs for reducing debt, even, and managing money. There are lots of those out there. There are lots of great seminars and workshops and just the right way to bring it in to DA. I bet that's happened at some of your meetings, too, that it's easy to have happen. As individuals, we might share our experiences with them, but as an organization, we have nothing at all to say either for or against them. And that's the reminder I needed to have in doing this tradition, because I forget that I have the option of not having an opinion at all. Remember, I'm a Texan, so it's like that was never in my whole life doing this today to do that. So I'll quickly go through these then. As individuals, we can share.
Betty, time is up.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Betty. Love that. Mary, thank you for that great timing. Speaker number two is Janine F.
Thanks, Monty. Thanks, Timekeeper. Thanks, everybody, for being here. So my name is Janine, and I am a successful and solvent compulsive debtor and business owner. By the grace of God, my solvency date is July 4th, 2016. I have a home group in Debtors Anonymous. You can find me every Saturday morning working with newcomers and those in relapse with a big group of folks. It's called the Radical Clarity Group, and it is a beginner's meeting focused on beginners who are really, really struggling. So it just so happens in this precious fellowship that I am a fellow who has been on the radio speaking about DA, interviewed on iHeartMedia, that I did not create. Okay, this is nuts what I'm about to tell you. And this is all in accordance with Tradition 11, okay? So we don't have meetings in South Carolina. Okay, before COVID, we didn't have any meetings. We had no face-to-face meetings to go on Zoom. So I start DA and I'm like, what the heck, dudes? We don't have any meetings? This is insane. A lot of people have serious money problems. I'm not the only one. Come on. And I have long experience in other high service positions and other 12-step fellowships. So I'm like, okay, I know we are based on attraction, not promotion. And I know phase one of activating a plan is to pray first in accordance with step 11. So I start a meeting and I start praying and meditating, and I go to the meeting 1 hour a week. No one comes. I read literature. I read The Currency of Hope like 50 times. And occasionally some newcomers straggle in, and you know, I try to carry the message and they don't want it. That's okay. So I start praying and I'm like, God, Bill and Bob had Jack Alexander in the Saturday Evening Post. And that's what got AA off the ground into big knowledge. So I start praying and I say, God, as I limited understand you, God, I need a reporter. I need help in accordance with Tradition 11. And the meeting I started was listed in directories, and it was listed in the newspaper. You know, it was in accordance with the public information manual. And to you guys, I am not making this up. I had only prayed this prayer maybe for a week or less. And I didn't do I have an action partner, and she's always reminding me, I don't have to figure anything out. I have to let go and let God. If I do it in self-will, even with a good intention, it doesn't work, dudes. Okay, so I come home and I check my email, and a reporter emailed me. And I was like, what the heck? Oh my God. He saw, I asked him, I said, Barry, how the heck, why are you getting a hold of me? And he said he saw the advertisement in the newspaper one day, and he's a professor of communications at a local college, and he runs a nonprofit public relations business, and he read about Debtors Anonymous. He doesn't need it. He could not believe that there was an organization to help people with debting, because he knows about 400 people that need it. Okay. So he got to talking. He goes, look, I want you to come down to the radio station and we're going to set you up with an interview. So I'm not exaggerating, you guys. I think I had 6 pressure relief meetings with my team, right? My sponsor and my team, going over the public information manual and now deeply studying, how do we carry the message and not ourselves? How do we carry the message and not be the president of DA, not be the spokesperson, right? So I spent much pressure relief meetings practicing in mock interviews with my team to how do we carry the message? And we would chew on this as a team for an hour for many meetings. So I'm doing something right now with you guys that I do when I speak above the group level, when I'm being recorded, you don't know my real name. My real name is not Janine. It is a pseudonym because we are being recorded right now. This is going to be put on a podcast. Anyone on the planet that's listening to this right now in the future is outside of our fellowship. They're not in our fellowship. So we read fancy words at the beginning, but then how we as individuals live tradition 11 is it tells us this in our PI manual and in the accordance with the actual tradition in the book. We don't show our faces. We don't use our real names. And we tell very little of our own story, very little. Just a touch to say maybe some words about suffering and hope. And then we share the message, what my pressure relief man in Texas, the one thing about me being a newcomer, I was really struggling when I was new with a 27-year debt repayment plan and a balanced spending plan. How much step one do I really want? How much step one? 27 years, really? So I said this, and the man said back to me, when are you going to submit to the collective consciousness and the wisdom of Debtors Anonymous? And I said, okay, I'll do it. And I felt the heart shift into God's money, God's love, and God's time. It's not my money. It's not my ability to love except as an instrument. And it's definitely not my time. It's all my higher powers. So when I'm functioning in tradition 11, that's the message I'm carrying, not my personal message. I'm trying to meditate inside the collective consciousness and the wisdom and the deep humility to not say my name, to not be a spokeswoman, to not be the president and the perfectly organized, perfectly solvent human being. You know, I am solvent, and it's crazy. I can tell you guys this. This is only because of God, dudes. I committed to that 27-year debt repayment plan starting at $1 a month. That is not Melissa. Anyway, that is not me, dudes. No way. No way. That is so ludicrous. That had to be a higher power. There's no other way to describe it. There's just no other way. So I submitted to it. And then what happens in the collective consciousness and wisdom? Letting go lets God. And I can tell you, only by the miracle and grace of this fellowship and humility, I manage the equivalent of debt that I used to have in assets now. I'm the world's definition of solvent. by becoming the DA definition of solvent. And it works. And I don't have to figure anything else out. I have to let go and carry the message and work with beginners and be a beacon, as our third step prayer says, of power. And my action partner and I also add hope and love. And so that's how I carry forward with Tradition 11 and in crazy radio interviews and with weirdo reporters that reach out to me. And now with a ton of beginners in our Radical Clarity group that I'm so privileged to work with. So thanks, Monty, for asking me to be a part of today. I love Fellowship Day. It's a chance to feel a deep, a part of, like I would in the other big 12-step world that, you know, DA doesn't have 50,000 people at a convention like the original 12-step fellowship does, but I get to feel it deep today. So thanks, you guys. It can make me weep with joy and love. And if no one's told you today that they love you, I love you, my fellows. And I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad to see your names and your faces. So thanks, Monty. And if I have extra time, I cede it as a gift back to the group of God's time. Thanks.
Thank you, Janine. That was perfect timing. And thank you for that love. I'll take it. Our third speaker on Tradition 12 is Deborah Kay.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, everyone here. I'm getting so much. I'm learning so much from everyone's shares. When Maureen asked me to fill in and speak on Tradition 12, I said, well, what do I do? You know, I'm not an expert on this. And she recommended just, you know, looking at the 12, 12 and 12, like that's what you do and, you know, read it and take notes. And because I think it's the hardest to have a personal take on because it's, well, I'll read it. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And it's beautiful. It is it sort of underlines every tradition that we've been listening to. And it made me start to think, well, I'm just so affected by personalities. I mean, what keeps me here in some ways is all the people. And I get to see all these different people and, you know, so many people that are so different than I am, but we share a common problem or, you know, very different issues that bring them to the same place. And it's also fascinating to me, but this tradition is what keeps us alive here because I mean, just recently, last night I was reading about a commercial detox program for teenagers. And basically it was founded on 12-step type things, but it became about the guy who led it eventually. The charisma of the person who was utilizing so much of these beautiful traditions and ideas and tools that really work, but somehow having it attached to a persona. And a lot of times when people say principles before personalities, we're talking about like, don't get upset that this person said something that you didn't like, or you don't particularly like this person and all, you know, and you have to work with them or something like that. But for me, the challenge is almost more just how much I like people in a way. And, you know, it's one of the things that kept me in the program in the beginning, because I would go to this writer's meeting in New York. And I saw people who were having the kinds of careers I wanted to have. I'm a performer. And I'll say a little about me. I came into DA at in February 2014, I was, for a number of reasons, my debting and money issue had really, a friend of mine said, it's like your spirit is gone. When I finally faced my debting and that I was $30,000 in debt that I was able to deny, you know, easily and would have continued. But when I realized it, my spirit was just, it was like it had been sucked out of me for a moment there. And this program, by addressing this issue, my spirit could flourish again, come back through. And I'll just, some of the other things I read in that, because this book is, you know, such a gift. I can't believe people were able to put this kind of wisdom into words the way they have. All the traditions require supplanting our self-centeredness by being part of a whole, which requires humility, common good. And that's the thing, you know, the principles before personalities, once again, it's the self-centeredness does not make us bad people. That's what we are. We take care of ourselves. We are, you know, animals in the world, and we're trying to stay alive and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's understandable, but this program gives us a reason not to worry, gives us wisdom that we can just go right beyond. And the whole thing about also going beyond other people's personalities is that we can hear the wisdom of the program through what they're saying. Then there was also something in there about anonymity is not secrecy. And I learned that when I was ISR in New York for 3 years. So I came to the conference for the past 3 years. And my first 2 years, I was in the PI committee. And I was just learning on my feet. You know, I kind of got in a little too soon almost, but service was thrust upon me and I did it. And, but we really, it was like, we do have to talk about our experience so that people will know about this beautiful thing we have. And it's just that we have, it's all mapped out for us in these beautiful traditions and these beautiful tools and the steps. The opposite, so at one point, the opposite of anonymity is ego-driven. So anonymity is essentially humility. And I take that into willingness. That's our willingness. It's like we can just trace it, and you trace it in, again, in the other people who are speaking. And you see the principles come through them. I hope this is making sense. But, you know, it's the other thing of like, you know, when you qualify, you talk about your experience. And here in these past 3 hours that I've been on these meetings, we're really, it's like, this is principles before personalities in action. I can't rely on my anecdotal life to share. It's just how I've experienced this. And another thing people bring up is that gossip is an issue for them that they try to work against, and that this step this tradition is a big help with that. And I think that I'm so tempted to want to speak about things I hear in meetings because I learn so much and I want to share it, you know, and it's a challenge. So I think that in a way, getting asked to speak on this has been another gift of higher power. Like, let's think about this. How do I feel about this? I would love for my friends outside of program to hear some of the incredible things and stories and inspiration that I get from this program. But, you know, they're just going to have to get in debt and get out of it to get that, I guess. Anyway, and then at the end of the writing on Tradition 12, the last paragraph is, when we share our recovery with gratitude, emphasizing recovery principles rather than individual accomplishments, we are demonstrating the spiritual nature of anonymity, placing principles before personalities. So the spiritual nature here is that our individual willingness to take on these concepts and this way that we live our lives and see what it does for us. We talk about miracles a lot. That is a miracle that, you know, that so many different people can process these ideas, can share these ideas, that we as a group come as GSRs and solidify these ideas and vote on them, and they become helpful to people way beyond, coming in all the time. That is a miracle. And that's, I guess, where I'll leave it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah. That was awesome.